1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, deal with a principle in Scripture that's very, very important. It's a principle that oftentimes we do not think of as we think of living our lives. What I'm going to deal with tonight from the Scripture may be seen as a very difficult topic for some. Most pulpits don't deal with it today. It's a hush topic. No one wants to touch it with a 10-foot pole, but God touches the area. And because God touches the area, we need to touch the area. And we need to touch the area from the Scriptures. There are some areas in the churches today that are in a free fall. And they're in a free fall in some areas. Some are in a free fall in the area of the authority of Scripture. And they're free falling because they do not see the Bible as the sole authority. Some are in a free fall in the area of music, and it is going down the drains, and it's going down the drain. God's not receiving that worship. The issue I'm dealing with tonight, many churches are in a free fall in. The church at large is conforming to worldliness in many ways at a rapid pace. And so any church willing to teach on this area is in an all-out battle against society. It's against what most other churches are doing, and it is an area that we have to fight for. It's an area that we have to instruct in. It's an area that we have to live an example in if we're going to keep the area right before God. I understand tonight I'm dealing with a wide variety of people in our church. I understand that we have people at all different stages of growth and stages of the Christian life. We have new people that are just saved and just coming along. We have people that have just rededicated their lives to the Lord and are just trying to get things in step with what God desires. We have people that have been here for years. You know what you believe. You're solid in what you believe. Tonight, I'm dealing on the subject of appearance and dress. And I've entitled the message, Adorning God's Temple. You know, everybody has standards. Everybody has standards. Go to a workplace and you will find that they will tell you what to wear in most cases, and they will tell you some things that you cannot wear. They will tell you some things that you can do, and they will tell you some things that you can't do. They will have things in place that says no and things in place that says yes. Everybody draws lines somewhere. Everybody does that. That's a fact, and that we can observe that fact. At Mount Zion Baptist Church, we have a dress code, and we have that dress code in place for the whole of the body of Christ, we as a local church. And that dress code is in place so that when we come together, we don't offend one another, we fit in line with Scripture, we can come together and worship freely. I have taught in our New to the Church class that our dress code, I believe, reflects the biblical principles taught in the Word of God. And so it's not just good for the church. Truth of the matter is, what's good for the church that's biblical is good for the home. It's good in church, and it's good for out of church. And so tonight, I am preaching on this thought, and I will share with you Bible truth, Bible principles that affects this area. I also, as we begin this preaching tonight, want to introduce you to some good books on this topic. I believe that every lady, every young lady ought to read this book, all of these books, but this book on biblical femininity by Jerry Ross. I believe it's one of the great books that we have in our bookstore. It's a short book. It will help you as a lady, older lady, younger lady, it doesn't matter. It is tremendous in the truths that it presents. I invite you to pick that up in the bookstore. Our bookstore doesn't make money on any of the books. We sell everything at cost. We want you to have these things. My mother has written a book on dress called Dress, A Reflection of the Heart. It looks like this. It's down in the bookstore. You can pick one of these up and educate yourself in this area. David Cloud has written a book called Dressing for the Lord, a tremendous book. And I could introduce to you a whole bunch more. In my study for this message, I probably consulted 11 different sources outside of the Word of God in reading about this area so that I could preach and give you, thus saith the Lord, from the Scripture. I know that people are at different levels in our church, but listen to me. Every person, no matter where you're at in your Christian life, ought to have a desire to please God. If you're a Christian, there ought to be this overwhelming desire in your heart that says, God, I want to please you. Whatever pleases you, God, I want to learn that, and I want to do that. We have some ladies who have been taught these principles and are living an example before others in this area for the glory of God. We have many young ladies in our church who maybe you haven't yet been taught these principles in your life, or an older lady that's coming to our church and you're relatively new. Maybe you've not been taught these principles. I want to teach you the principles of Scripture tonight so that you can form biblical convictions that are based and grounded in scriptural principle. Somebody questioned me about this recently, and I said, listen, I said, I will take you through the scriptures on it. I want you to know I'm not standing on it wavering. I don't stand here shaky on this particular topic because God is clear on the topic. And so I want to take you through the scriptures tonight. Some have taken this kind of attitude towards this area. I have liberty in this area to do as I feel is best. And I want you to remember the overriding principle tonight as we approach this area. And the principle is this: your body is not yours. And my body is not mine. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. That means that we belong to God. And if we belong to God, then God has the right to tell us in our area how to manage our bodies, how to clothe our bodies. Some ladies have an attitude that no one's going to tell me what to wear, and they've forgotten they don't belong to themselves. None of us belong to ourselves. We're bought with a price. The area of dress and appearance is really a matter of the heart. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and look at verse number 9 with me. If it belongs to me, I can manage it. If it belongs to God, I better manage it how God tells me to manage it. I'm a steward before God. And so some Christian women dress in a way that says, I'm for sale. They advertise their bodies. That's not God's design for the body. I want to show you that tonight from the scriptures. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse number 9, the Bible says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. My heart is grieved when I see a direction taken by women who profess godliness, but in their appearance do not profess godliness. That is concerning to me. That is grieving to me as a pastor. My desire is that our women in our church, our young women and our older women, first profess godliness in the heart. First have a godly and a meek heart towards the Lord and a submissive heart to the Lord that says, Lord, use me. Lord, I want to be a proper reflection of your image in my life. Lord, touch any area that you may in my life, and I want to please you in it. That should be the heartbeat. But then outwardly, that outward manifestation of that in our appearance ought to reflect what the inward is. It ought to be consistent. And so when women dress like the world and wear the world's clothing, it causes others to blaspheme the word of God. And we learn that in Titus chapter 2. When we do not follow the scriptures, it causes the world to look and say, yeah, see, the word of God doesn't mean much in their lives. Because the world knows what a Christian should be. The world knows what a Christian acts like. The world knows these things. And so it's very important how we appear. It sends a message to the children and young people of our church that you can live your own way outside the walls of the church. And it doesn't matter. And I'm saying to you tonight, it does matter. It really does matter. It is affecting people. People are watching. It is affecting people and thinking that, well, they go to our church, but boy, they don't dress like what is taught in the scripture. What is going on? A mixed message, mixed signals, confusion, taking place when we don't follow God's word in this area. It's no different than if I walked out the doors of this church and stood outside by my vehicle with some young boys and began to swear. And the young boys would say, wait a second. Don't we have truth on that front that we're not to behave that way? And yet, Pastor, you're swearing outside the church? It's important. It's important not only in the walls of this church, but it's important outside the walls of this church. Notice we are to glorify Him in our body and spirit, which are God's. Some argue on this area, and I've heard this argument, that God only looks on the heart. If God only looks on the heart, why did He say we're to glorify Him or give the right opinion of Him both in our body, that's outward, and in our spirit, that's inward? God said, I'm interested in both. I want glory on the outside and I want glory on the inside as well. It is possible to dress nice on the outside and have a rotten heart. You can get the outside right and you can have a terrible inside, a bitter, prideful inside. But it's not possible to have an inside that's right and an outside that's wrong. In Proverbs chapter 7, it talks about a woman with the attire of an harlot. And then here's the next phrase, and subtle of heart, sneaky of heart. The attire was the outside reflection of what was going on the inside in the heart. There's a subtle heart. Watch that person. A person that knows to do good and has been taught and doesn't do it, there's something in the heart that's not right. Now you may be here tonight and say, Preacher, I have never heard any preaching or teaching on this issue. I am not throwing you in the category of a harlot tonight. Please don't take it that way. All right, we are doing some training for some folks and for others. It will refortify those that have been taught in this area, and we need to be taught. And for those that have a hard heart in this area, you'll probably close your ears to me, and you can do that. But we want to give biblical truth on this area tonight. Strange women wear the attire of an harlot, while virtuous women choose coverings. That's very important. I ask you to listen to what the Scripture has to say in this area. I want to give you three principles tonight, very simple principles. Number one, if you're taking notes, the principle of nakedness. Go back to Genesis chapter 3, if you will. Genesis chapter 3, I want you to begin reading with me in verse number 7 down through verse number 10. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve had sinned. Before Adam and Eve had sinned, there was nakedness, but it was not sin. It was not shame. But after they sinned, it became shame. And it became so much the shame that they made themselves aprons, we read about in this passage. Beginning in verse number 7, read down through verse number 10. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. You know nobody else was in the garden that day? But they still hid themselves? Nobody else could see their nakedness, but God could. When we violate the principle of nakedness, it really doesn't matter if anybody's around or not. It ought to cause us concern because it's before the eyes of a holy God. And they hid themselves. Read on. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. The word apron, if you would look it up, it means a belt or a girdle. Probably covered them from the waist down. But that wasn't enough. Because in verse 21, the Bible says that God made coats of skins and clothed them. It's very interesting to me that when Satan lied to Adam and Eve and said, ye shall be as gods, there was partial truth in that. Because they became gods after they sinned. And they decided what they thought would be coverage. And God said, it's not good enough. It's not pleasing to me. It doesn't cover your nakedness. And God made coats for them. Coats that covered them. We know the coats were made to show us that Christ would shed his blood and die for man's sin. But they were physical animal coats that were made for them. Notice he made one for Adam, the masculine, and he made one for Eve, the feminine. I believe that they were different. The Bible says here, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God made coats of skins and clothed them. And when we get to the principle of distinction, and we see that in other passages of Scripture, we can conclude that what God made here was distinct for both of them, but it covered them. Adam and Eve thought that they would clothe themselves. But do you know that in the very beginning there was a battle of dress standards between man and God? And there's a battle of standards today between man and God in this area. The real battle is whether God is the lawgiver or man is the lawgiver. For some, they have this philosophy, I will wear what I feel is right. But let me remind you, God's principles ought to determine our practice. And it ought to be based upon the person and the character of Jesus Christ. God replaced Adam and Eve as clothing designers, and He clothed them. I think that that's very interesting. Look at Exodus chapter 28. You say, preacher, what is nakedness then? If they wore an apron and that was not enough, what does the Bible define as naked? Somebody without any clothes? Oh no. That's the world's definition today. But God's definition is much higher than that. God defines nakedness in Exodus 28. And by the way, when God defines something in Scripture, He doesn't change His mind on it. He didn't define it in the Old Testament and say in the New Testament, well, culture has changed, and so I think that my view of this has changed. I think that we could redefine it. No, when God defines something, it's always the same in His mind. And in this area of nakedness, He defines it in Exodus chapter 28. I want you to read with me verse number 42. Thou shalt make them linen breeches. He's speaking of the priests. Breeches were pants in that day to cover their nakedness. What is their nakedness? Read on. From the loins, even unto the thighs, they shall reach. If you look up the word thigh today, it talks about from the hip to the knee. He says, I want the priest's nakedness covered, and that means I want them covered from the loin, from the hip, all the way down to the knee. And if they're not, they're naked. According to the Scripture, He says their nakedness needs to be covered, and here's how their nakedness needs to be covered. And by the way, that was on men. That wasn't just on ladies. That was on men. Oh, it's quiet tonight. I know it is an uncomfortable topic, but God has a lot to say about it. And we need to look at what the Scriptures say. You know that nakedness in the Scripture has demonic influence connected to it? You understand in Luke chapter 8, verse number 27, it talks about a person that wear no clothes, and it says of him he had devils a long time. Demonic activity is associated with nakedness. Why would we as Christians be associated with it? Why would we say, oh, we'll make an exception for this? Why would we try to push the line and raise up the skirts and the dresses? Why would we approve shorts that bear the thigh out to people when God says from the hip to the knee, I've defined it for you. I've defined what nakedness is. One man I read after said this, if God made clothes to cover sin, why should we wear clothes to advertise it, or lack of wearing clothes to advertise it? You study how this entered into our culture, our American culture. If you go back and study the problems that we have in dress today, you know where it entered in? It entered in through bathing suits. It came in the early 20s when they began to design bathing suits. And so bathing suits began to show skin that was not shown in public before. And today, bathing suits reveal everything. It's nakedness all over. But as Christians, we have no problem going to the beach and being out in front of all that and being with people that are naked and putting our stamp of approval on it. The principle of nakedness is very serious to God. Very serious to God. We can justify pulling a lawn chair up to men and women who might as well put a sign on their bodies, "I'm for sale." And then we wonder why children turn out worldly. That's why. That's why, because we're making concessions on principles that God didn't make us to make concessions on. It's important. It sends an alarming and confusing message. One person said, "It's like mixing perfume with cigarette smoke. Put a Christian at a beach with nakedness all around." What in the world? But we've just grown accustomed because that's what everybody does and that's what we enjoy. And we are violating the principle. In Isaiah chapter 47, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Take the millstones and grind meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers, thy nakedness shall be uncovered." When? When is that going to be uncovered? When you bare the thigh? That's when it's uncovered. Oh, shoot darts at me, folks. It's the Word of God. Can't argue with the Word of God. Nakedness is shameful. It's still shameful. Anything that reveals the knee and above is defined as nakedness. Shorts, mini skirts, bathing suits, all violate the principle of nakedness. See-through material. Clothes that reveal or allure people to those parts of the body are violating the principle. I love you. I want what I have today years from now. And if we're going to have what we have today, somebody has to define it from the Scripture. And we've got to mark that which is holy and that which is profane. I'm not directing a message at any one person tonight. I'm trying to help us as a church. This area we've got to protect. There's a second principle I want you to see, the principle of modesty. Modesty covers an inward attitude and an outward appearance. The words a lady speaks, the tones that she uses, her body language, all reflect modesty, or they reflect a lack of it. Did you know that we can't be too modest? You say, "Well, that person's too modest." How can you be more modest than the holiness of God? You can't be too modest. As a lady, I think it's important to identify some goals on why you would dress outwardly the way that you do. First of all, if I were a lady, I would think this way: I belong to Christ. Therefore, I want to demonstrate that in my dress. I want people to clearly see Christ in my dress. How do you clearly show Christ in your dress when there's a mall filled with people? You dress modestly. You dress distinctively. I would ask in my goals, I'd make this goal: I do not want any man to stumble or sin as a result of the way that I dress. I don't want to be tempting. I don't want to be teasing. I don't want to be tight to cause any man to stumble or anybody that I may have influence over that I might lead them in a wrong direction. I don't want that. Do you? I want to please the Lord. Modesty means restrained by a sense of propriety. It means somebody that's orderly. It means somebody that's not loose or lewd. Not excessive, not extreme. Modesty results from a purity of mind and from fear of being a disgrace before God. Every lady in our church, young and old alike, every junior girl coming up, ought to have that in their heart. Lord, I want to have a pure mind so that I can have a pure outside. And Lord, I do not want to disgrace you in any way in my life. That's the attitude of modesty, but we're so far removed from it today. Today, some Christian ladies wear clothes without any disgrace, almost in your face, and then expect you to live with it, and expect you to accept it, and expect you to not say anything about it, and just go along with it. And I'm saying God doesn't go along with it. We need a return to modesty. There's a second word used in this passage. It's the word apparel. If you were to look up the word apparel in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 9, it means long and flowing. So the pattern for godly woman's dress, in accordance with 1 Timothy, is that she wears clothing that's not lewd or loose, not excessive or extreme. not but is orderly and is long and flowing. Wow. God paints a pretty clear picture of how women should adorn His temple. I think it's a very clear picture. Modest apparel doesn't mean a woman has to look drab. I don't believe in that. I don't believe you have to look unkempt. I don't believe that that's what God's talking about in this passage. I believe that you can look sharp, and I believe that you can look crisp and honor the Lord and have a radiant countenance that draws attention to your face because your heart is pure before God. I believe in that. But it ought to be long and flowing. I don't believe women ought to look like prunes. The Bible talks about the king's daughter is all glorious within in Psalm 145. Her clothing is wrought of gold. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. I believe my dress should profess what I profess as a Christian, and that I'm set apart unto the Lord. Ladies, I'd like to ask you a question tonight. Have you ever considered in being modest that your audience every day is the Lord? Every day that you wake up and I wake up, we put clothes on, and our audience is the Lord. That's who it is. That's the number one person we ought to be concerned about pleasing. And we don't want to violate the principle of nakedness. And we don't want to violate the principle of modesty. Tight-fitting clothes are not consistent with the definition of modest apparel. The Bible here is talking about long and flowing, that which is orderly. Tight-fitting is not long and flowing. It violates the principle. Are you with me tonight? We need a revival of coming back to truth and saying, I've got to make judgments in my life in this area based upon the principle of Scripture. And God says there's a principle of nakedness and there's a principle of modesty. Low-cut necklines. Slits that entice the eye. Low blouses. Short blouses. Are not in accordance with modest apparel. And if they're not in accordance with modest apparel, I can, by the authority of Scripture, say they're wrong. And they're sin against God. Because that's what the Bible defines that a lady should look like. There's a third principle I want to take you to tonight, the principle of distinction. The principle of distinction. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse number 5. You say, preacher, do you really believe it? I really believe it. I really believe it across the board. When we go to swim, we pray for empty pools. Sometimes God gives us empty pools. When He does, my girls and my wife put a skirt on and a shirt, and they swim in modest clothes. Why, preacher? Because there's not an exception to violating the principles of God's Word. God wants us to be consistent all the way across the board. And I'm not bragging tonight. I'm saying this, that if we believe it, we believe it. And we need to practice it. Deuteronomy 22, verse number 5, the Bible says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. I thought about wearing a skirt tonight. I chose not to. I like the pastor of this church. You know what the Bible is basically talking about here? Cross-dressing. That's what it is. A man shouldn't wear that which pertaineth to a woman. If I came in a skirt tonight or a dress, you all would look at me really, really different. You all would say, Pastor, what in the world is going on? But when a woman puts on pants, we can't talk about it at all. What does God think of me? Here's a good question for you, ladies, an honest evaluation of the Scriptures tonight. Is what I am going to wear worn by the opposite gender? Pants are clearly men's attire. Even our world knows that. Go to any bathroom in America, bathrooms across our world, and they define it on their signs. They put a dress on a woman, and they put pants on a man. And that's how you go to the restroom. That's how you know which restroom to go to. Because immediately in your eyes, you go, oh, men's and ladies. And all men and women do that. Why then, when it comes to this principle in our lives, do we think that we can step over it and commit an abomination unto the Lord? You say, preacher, that's Old Testament. Yes, but abominations never change. In the law, there are 10 abominations given. Let me give them to you tonight. One is sexual perversion, such as homosexuality, bestiality, incest, and adultery. That's Old Testament. Do you still believe that God believes that that's an abomination to the Lord? Absolutely. Every one of us would. If somebody was involved in bestiality or homosexuality or adultery, you would say that's wrong. And God hates it. Idol worship was another one. You think God still thinks that's wrong today? He still thinks it's wrong. Offering children in fire sacrifices to false gods. Do you think that's wrong today? You think it's right to offer your children up as sacrifices to false gods and kill them and slay them? That's an abomination. Wizardry, witchcraft, consulting with familiar spirits. Is that an abomination to the Lord? Absolutely, it's an abomination to the Lord. Divorce and remarriage to the same husband after being married to a different man was an abomination. Contributing money to the Lord made by prostitution in Deuteronomy 23:18 was an abomination, is an abomination. Offering a blemished sacrifice to God is an abomination. The use of imperfect weights and measures when doing business is an abomination. And cross-dressing is too. And what God labels as abominations, may I remind you, He never changes His mind. Never changes His mind. It doesn't become a less abomination over years. It doesn't go off God's list after 2,000 years and say, well, I tried to tell the people this, but I just give up on it. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Abominations are still an abomination. A woman dressing like a man or a man dressing like a woman is an abomination to God. The idea of unisex anything today is an attack on the setup that God put in place. And our world is pushing towards it. Our world is pushing the church in that direction. Have men fulfill the role of women. Have men look like women. Have women look like men. Bring them together. Blend the distinction. That's the target of our world. And so we have long hair on men today and short shorts on women. What's going on? We're reversing the roles. And so, if it's an abomination and God made it distinct, then we ought to keep the genders distinct by their attire. We ought to blush when there's a commitment of an abomination. In Jeremiah chapter number 6, I want you to turn over there. Because the Bible really paints a serious problem with the people that Jeremiah was preaching to. They were the people of God, but they were committing abominations and they were not even blushing at them. They were not even concerned about them anymore. Verse number 15, the Bible says, "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them when they fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord." Have you ever had a fear of God that says, "God, the things that are abomination to you, I want to be far from. Lord, I don't want to be close to those things." You know that the principle of distinction was not only taught in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 22, dealing with a person's clothing, but it's taught in the New Testament. And like we learn most often, when God went from law to grace, things became tighter. In the New Testament, we find it out in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where he talks about the hair of a person. He says it's a glory for a woman to have long hair. And it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Why? God made the genders distinct. And he not only wants us to be distinct in roles, but he wants us to be distinct in appearance, through and through, in our clothing, in our hairstyles, in every way, God wants us to be distinct. Let me say, preacher, I just don't believe that way. If you don't believe that way, you have to step over these principles. You have to step over the principle of nakedness. If you think that the thigh can be revealed and you have no problem with it, because God defines nakedness. You have to step over the principle of modest apparel. That which is long and flowing, if you're going to put slacks on as a lady, you have to step over that principle. You have to step over the principle of distinction. See, what we've made it is, I reserve the right to make the final decision. And God's saying, you're mine. And because you're mine, I want you to adorn my temple in my way. And these are the principles that I've given you in the Scriptures. There's a fourth principle I don't have time to develop tonight. It's the principle of separation. We're to be a peculiar people. People are to be able to look at us by the way that we appear and say, Christian. Christian. Something that sticks out about their countenance, about their clothing, about every aspect of them. I'm thankful today one of the visitors came to me and said this after the service. They said, boy, you have a joyful church. Something stuck out to them. And one of the things that I want to stick out to our community is we have a bunch of ladies that are interested in being modest in heart and modest in appearance and identifying with the Lord. Preacher, I don't feel convicted about these things. The feel word is an important word. We don't make decisions on feelings. We make decisions on facts. And the facts of the Scripture are there. You study it. You look it out for yourself. You study these passages and you'll find that God has defined for a lady how He wants her to look. By the way, men, we have responsibilities too. Your hair needs to be right. You need to avoid nakedness. I'm not preaching just to the women. What's good for the women is good for the men. And we need to practice biblical Christianity in these areas. Say, preacher, I'm toast. I'm dead to right. What do I do? Here's what you do. You get before God and say, God, thank you for letting me see truth. And Lord, the truth is going to change my life. And Lord, the truth is going to change my wardrobe. I'm going to go home and I'm going to take some things out. I'm going to get rid of some things. I'm going to replace some things. So that I can please you. That's my number one goal. I want to make some appeals as I close tonight. I want to review our church dress code for all church functions. This is our church dress code for activities. Proper attire for ladies at an activity would include dresses, skirts, or culottes below the knee. That means that the knee is completely covered. We sometimes have trouble with this. When the dress code's clear, we ask for it to be below the knee. So that even when you sit, it's below the knee. Why is that, preacher? I don't want any nakedness. That's why. That's why we have that in place. We ask that no lady wear slacks, shorts, miniskirts, or any see-through or tight-fitting material. And this is true for church as well. Sometimes we get it right in activity, but we don't get it right when we come to worship God in church. That's important to God. It's important. Please hear my spirit on it. We ask the fellows not wear shorts nor midriff shirts. We ask that no fellow be bare-chested. Hear my heart on this. Our spirit must be right in this. We have new people coming in. If somebody walks in and they're not dressed in the proper attire, that's not the first thing we're trying to get them. Please don't go up to them and be all over them and be in their face about this. That is not our heartbeat. We want to work with the heart. We want to work with the gospel with them. And then they can grow in these areas as they learn these areas for God's glory. Boy, you want to offend somebody and just drive somebody from the gospel, go after these kinds of areas right off the top. Okay? Please don't do that. Please don't do that. As an extension of me to this church, please don't do that. All right? When a lady comes in, we want to love the people that come our way. In conclusion, the heart is really the matter. You may be sitting here tonight and you may be a little upset. All right? I may have touched on something that is running cross-grain to you. Can I ask you this question tonight? Why is your heart running cross-grain to truth that has been defined in Scripture? If your heart's running cross-grain, the place to check is your heart. The place to work on is your heart. You must evaluate, why am I fighting this in my heart? Here are some personal evaluation questions for your clothing. Number one, is it long enough? Number two, is it loose enough? Is it high enough? Does it cover you properly? Does it reveal the form of your body? Does it give the impression of being man's clothing? Does it reveal undergarments because it's see-through? We need to take inventory on these things. It's important. May I make an appeal to fathers tonight? Teach this stuff in your home. Get it to the young men in your home so that someday when they grow up and they have a family, they can teach it. They believe it. They practice it. Show your daughters how to sit. This is common sense stuff. It really is. But it needs trained. Because if it doesn't get trained, it's not going to happen. Teach them modesty of heart and appearance. It's not weak to look feminine. It's godly to look feminine. Guard what comes out of your home. If someone is under your roof, they put themselves under your authority. And you're responsible for them. If they're under your roof, you're responsible for them. Take inventory. Check. Because if you don't, then it comes to my turf. And then I deal with it. Or somebody else has to deal with it. And it would be much better if you dealt with it in the home. You're as responsible as a father to teach, to guide, to inspect modesty. You're responsible to speak up when it's not right. It's okay to ask your daughter to change. Ask my daughters. My daughters will tell you sometimes they've grown out of something and they walk through and my eye catches something. And I pull them aside and I explain to them why and I ask them to change. They're growing to where that won't have to take place someday, Lord willing. They will be able to see all those things. It's okay to talk to your spouse in a loving way about this matter. I do not understand men that are A-okay with their wives going around and advertising their bodies. This blows my mind. I don't want my wife's body advertised to everybody else. Take her out. Buy her some new clothes that reflect the principle of modesty and distinction, that close the door on nakedness. May I speak to our ladies tonight? If you are fighting, I encourage you to stop fighting. I encourage you to submit to the Scripture and the principles of the Scripture. Do you believe that it's the Spirit of God that is saying what I have preached is wrong? You think that the Spirit is saying what He preached is false? When we've walked through Scripture and principle and definitions. Mothers, if you have no biblical convictions in this area, how are you going to teach a daughter in it? How are you going to train a daughter in it if you don't have it? I'm pleading with you tonight. If you're compromised in this area, I promise you, your children see it. But more importantly, God sees it. That's what ought to really matter. Parents that have young children, start with these standards of dress early on. And you won't have to correct it. And you can raise them from the ground up in this. All young ladies in our church, we got a lot of them. Don't advertise yourself. Dress distinctively. Be a lady at all times in your appearance. I urge you to begin replacing your wardrobe and evaluating it for the glory of God. Don't buy into the world's definition of womanhood. Don't be swayed by our culture. Don't be swayed by a crowd. Don't be swayed by a carnal Christian. Stand on the principles of God's word. If you're not sure about something, don't wear it. If it's borderline, it's worldly. Get rid of it. If you have solid convictions in this area, be firm. Be kind. Don't act superior, but be able to defend what you believe based upon Scripture. And brethren, we want to take strong stands at Mount Zion Baptist Church that are biblical, and we want to do it with a sweet spirit.